Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a little bit different. You're always going to get chips and things of that nature, particularly when you play against a guy like Burns and Thibodeau. But you know, like, it's a little bit different than it was back in the day. It was more up under passing game just in general. With guys being in the gun now, you know, that's kind of tilted a little bit on, you know, which one is more important, blind side or backside. But a lot of gun football, not as much three-step and old five-step, seven-step drop that we're used to because we're old. But not as much of that anymore. So, like, not as important, but definitely still a factor.
Yeah, it is. Don't even get me started right now. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Mike and Bo out here live in Kennesaw at Twin Peaks, man, getting ready for this college football playoff going on. The Falcons this weekend. What a huge, huge showdown weekend in all of football, man. But you know, that was Raheem with Dukes and Bell answering the question about the blind side for a left-handed quarterback.
You know how we talk about this, a copycat league? The media is dead on with that, too. It's a copycat, like, holy smokes. Not to interrupt myself, but
jeez.
James and these guys at Twin Peaks has brought us breakfast, and I don't want to.
Look at that plate of bacon.
That bacon is screaming my name.
Yeah. You kind of caught me off guard, too. Guys, you can't do that while we're live on air. Jeez, look at that.
Thank you so much, guys. We're live here at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw, by the way.
Ding.
And we're probably going to let Jersey Mike do this segment. Because we're
Dude, I was just looking at it going.
No, Jersey, you cannot go over there first.
You can't get the plate first.
Anyways, it's copycat league, right?
Yeah.
Well, the media is the same way.
Right.
Because one person puts out a bad take.
Right.
And the people that don't know any better.
They just run with it.
And
they're like, question.
So now Raheem's going to get asked 20 times. And if Caleb McGarry gives up like one sack in this game, it's going to be, well, are you regret now that you didn't switch? And it's going to be like, no. And you explained it yesterday phenomenally. And then I was talking to Arch offline yesterday, and it was like, he goes, yeah, you know, it's a little bit different than it used to be. And it has. It's changed. It's not quite the same league that it used to be as far as – with the offenses they run and it's not like Caleb McGarry doesn't go against. I know it's different because it's the blind side. But he goes against the best edge rusher
right. That
every team has every freaking week.
Yeah, he does, and that's what I was alluding to. I teased a minute ago. I said, if you're Michael Penix Jr., I got good news for you. That good news for the second time this week, Brian Burns did not practice. Right, so Brian Burns, Patrick Johnson, Bobby Okereke and Aaron Stinney all in the DNP yesterday for the New York Giants. Their injury list for the New York Giants, the longest I've seen all season. You know, we track this, and it's not – they're not all DNPs. Those are your four – I think there's one more, Greg Stroman, the cornerback, a DNP.
Is it longer than ours the week of the Denver game?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty long.
It's got to be – there's got to be at least 20. There's at least 20 on here. You got the DNPs, you got limited, Deontay Banks, Tommy DeVito, Cordell Flott. I think we're going to get Drew Locke. He was a full participant in practice yesterday after being limited on Wednesday, so I think you're going to get Drew Locke in that aspect. But, yeah, man, look, it's exciting this weekend. I think you match up in a lot of different ways very, very well with what the New York Giants are trying to do.
Oh, my gosh.
It reads like a Costco receipt. I mean, it really does. You get all the way down there, and you're like, whoo, boy, they are dealing with it up there. Obviously, the Falcons aren't really dealing with any of the same things. Kadarius Hodge, a number of guys didn't practice yesterday. Some of them, and a lot of them, had to do with rest, right? It was like on the injury list for the Atlanta Falcons, DNP due to rest. It's a short week. You're going to have that. I think a lot of that has to do with heart rate monitors, GPS trackers, things like that. Are guys in the red? You know, do they need more rest? Is their body not recovering fast enough? But that's what you're dealing with. So I think the next thing is we can talk about protections, and you're right, it's changed over the years. We can talk about different things inside of this offense. Well, look, Raheem Morris was asked yesterday about how this offense is going to change. Listen to what he had to say.
We're going to do what we do. You've seen a good part of our offense, a majority of part of it. You know, obviously, Michael's a little bit more mobile just because of the youth. He didn't show that necessarily in college, but the youth makes him a little bit more mobile, being able to move around a little bit more. The young man, he can execute everything that we want to do. I mean, obviously, he has a live arm. He can do all the things that we're going to ask him to do. He's got great accuracy, got great touch. And, you know, it'll look very similar to what you know, and we just got to go out there and execute.
Well, he might not. He might downplay a little bit. I just saw him catch a throwback pass and house it. Now it was only like a 30-yard little kind of what I would call almost a quarterback screen, the way they set it up.
Yeah, it was like a little throwback, throwback to the quarterback, with the lineman out in front.
But I think
he hit top speed right there.
But he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not, I think Justin Herbert's probably better than him
right,
as far as athleticism.
You brought up Justin Herbert. I'm going to go as my comp with like just athleticism wise with like Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think Herbert's more athletic than him. I saw Herbert do things at Oregon that I had not necessarily sure that Penix could do anymore. I think he could have done it in his first year or two at Indiana
right,
because he was more of a running quarterback then.
I'm trying to think of where he fits in terms of all the rookies. Like as far as the rookies goes, Bo Nix is more athletic than him.
I think Bo Nix he can do this. I trust him to start the starting and stopping stuff,
right,
the quick cutting. I just don't know if Penix. I don't know where your mind is after two ACLs with that kind of stuff. One of the things though that we nobody's talked about is the quick release he had in college, and we saw it in OTAs and in the camp a little bit. I feel like he's the guy that gets the ball out quickly.
I almost forgot about that,
and I don't think anyone's talking about it.
It's a flick of the wrist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a flick of the wrist.
Well, and we've seen guys here that have flick of the wrist, but it's just he can process, and again, it was OTAs and stuff, but I felt like he did a good job of drop back, boom, ball is out.
Can I stop you right there, though?
Yeah.
That word you just used, process. I'm a little bit triggered by that. Right?
Well, you should be, but guess what? But here's the deal, though. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, because the word elite processing was thrown around so much this offseason. And it was elite for 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
But that is why when people want to claim injury physically, I'm like, I don't believe that. Because you go back to the interception across the middle against the Raiders in the first drive of the second half. Dude, he's got 3 guys open.
Yeah.
3 guys, and he locked in on Charlie Warner running.
It was like a check down, right?
No, it was like a crossing route.
Okay. All right.
Some kind of crossing route, whatever, you know, call it. Everybody calls it something different.
I want to go back to the sound from 2 days ago because we didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday, but we just heard from Raheem talking to Dukes and Bell about how the offense might change. Well, 2 days ago, Zach Robinson was talking to the media, and he was asked if, hey, what kind of playbook are we dealing with here?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we felt great with Kirk as well. You know, it just obviously Mike's got some different skill sets that you can activate as well. But, you know, whatever he's done at Washington and what we've seen out on the practice field, how it fits within our offense, we'll definitely activate that this week.
Yeah, we'll definitely activate that this week. Does that mean he's going to run a bootleg in the first 3 plays?
I might
use one of those personal confetti guns and shoot it up in the air wherever I'm sitting in the media suite if we run a bootleg.
I'm glad I'm not sitting next to you.
Yeah, I might have one of those.
Next to you for
please. I might have one of those kazoos. You know, I might do one of those. One of the birthday party things that the kids have these days.
Yeah, I think it would be fun to see. Maybe some play action from under center. You think he would do that in the first series?
I would be curious, and that's one of the things I want to talk to Dave Archer today. If you guys didn't hear me earlier, Dave Archer is going to sit with us from 8 to 9 o'clock today. He's going to talk about college football playoffs. He's going to talk about Michael Penix. He's going to know better than anybody on a lot of this stuff. I'm curious how much under center they'll do, and or how much is Michael Penix comfortable with. Because I do feel like this offense, and I've explained this before, when you run wide zone concepts, a lot of times you have to run them from the pistol or from under. You want the running back to start even with the center's butt when you run wide zone concepts. If you put the running back offset to the backside, now all of a sudden he's having to outrun the backside of the defense. Now, with Michael Penix in there at shotgun, maybe that helps you a little bit because you can boot off of it. You can do the zone read kind of stuff off of the wide zone if you want to. But from my perspective, the running back needs to start straight back from the center's butt. So Michael Penix, I think, will have to go under center at least a few times on Sunday. I'm curious to hear from Arch what he thinks about that.
And they showed the zone read concept at Washington. When he was there, he did not run it. It just wasn't it because of the type of Kalen DeBoer wanted to air it out. It was kind of an air raid-y type offense in some ways, but they had that zone read in there. He did it. I saw him do it against Texas in that bowl game, college football playoff semifinal. I just don't think you're going to do it a lot. It's just the threat of it, right?
Right. Right.
To kind of keep you honest.
Well, and the thing is, like I said the other day, and I was talking about this when Kirk was still playing, I don't care if he hands it off, just simply the threat that something might happen on the backside. And that's run it, boot out and throw it into the flat, wide receiver screen, whatever it may be. Just the threat hesitates the backside's eyes just enough to open up that run lane front side. They're not able to go downhill and crash in on the hole.
And I want to say this. The people that the keyboard coaches and GMs and insiders out there that I've been seeing wanting to say, these people that think the playbook's going to open up with a rookie are just idiots. Well, the coaches are telling you that because there's so much more you can do with the type of athlete he is compared to Cousins.
Like Zach said, the skill set.
Yes.
The skill set.
But not to mention, if you didn't watch Monday night and think it was a dumbed-down playbook or a toned-down or they were doing stuff to protect the quarterback from throwing the football, that's on you, man. I can't help you.
Yeah.
It just shows who you know. Ignorance is bliss, I guess.
I am hoping, just like everybody else listening, that Zach Robinson's the thickness of his playbook is not that just stand in the pocket and let that thing rip. Like, he's got to have more there. All right, we're going to find out on Sunday.
I'm going to eat this breakfast.